We could just stand for a moment. It is a treat, a real honor to have Sister Terry Spears here with us tonight. And it is, and we do love your husband, Brother Steve, very much. He's a dear friend of ours and a dear friend of mine. And I can always expect when Steve Spears calls me, that first thing he's going to do is he's going to insult me in some way right off the bat. So I'm used to that. So I'm just trying to practice on ways I can get back at him, you know, even though he's not here. But anyway, it is great to have you here, the more mature of the two here. We love you, Sister Spears. Come and preach your heart to us.
I'm not sure who insults who more. Those are two peas in a pod when it comes to quips about each other. And Steve does send his regrets. Sometimes old age just kind of catches you. See, I hope he's not watching this because that would not make him happy. But he had a little procedure on his back and the doctors told him 4 to 6 weeks. And he said, oh, it'll just be 2 and I'll be back up and running. Well, the doctors are usually right on such things. And so it's been 5 weeks, and he's not quite up and running yet. So he just couldn't do the plane and all the trips. But he was not a happy camper when I left yesterday. I'll just leave it at that. He was not very happy. But he wanted me to come, and he does love this church and your pastor very much. And we love Jesus. Through it all, we love Jesus. His presence is very sweet here tonight. I don't know, there's nothing to me like coming in from, like he said tonight, you come in from a rushed time and you enter his presence. And it's such a refreshing feeling. And you can be seated. I know it's a Wednesday night. I know you're tired. So we'll get with this as quickly as possible. Pastor told me not to worry about the time. He had a meeting after church, so he'd just leave when he got through and ready. So well, that's okay. Me and Jesus will keep it going. You may have heard the legendary story. It's just a myth and a fairy tale, actually, called The Sword in the Stone. It was really a Arthurian romance, and it's one of the many legends about King Arthur and the Knights of the Round Table. And that story is about Arthur, who was the son of the King of England, and many people wanted the throne, and there was a lot of turmoil in the kingdom. So the king, when he had Arthur, he sent his son away and hid him in the castle of a friend because he was afraid for his life. And not long after he did that, the king took sick and he died. So now who would rule the throne? And you know the rest of the story. There was this sword that was placed into a stone by some unforeseen force. And it read, "Whoso pulleth out the sword from the stone will be the new king of England." And everyone tried, and no one could do it because it was impossible. You cannot pull a sword out of a stone when it's grafted together. One day, of course, when Arthur turned 15, he went and easily pulled the sword from the stone and was crowned King of England. Quite a fairy tale. Quite a legend. And the reason I explain this story is I'm going to use a play on words tonight. It's not going to be the sword in the stone, but it's going to be the sword and the stone. both things look impossible. Before I begin, I'll have to read what my prophet, Brother Barnes, always told me to do. If you would repeat after me, I now, in Jesus' name, receive the words you are sending into my heart, not my head. My heart's fertile ground where the Holy Ghost lives. And the seed will germinate. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we come to you tonight as servants of you, only wanting to glean what we can from your word, to walk more in the fullness of what you would have us walk in. Let us all learn tonight what you would have us learn from your precious word. Cover us with your blood and your spirit. We love you and we give you all the glory. In Jesus' name. I want to start by reading from Nehemiah chapter 1. We'll start with verses 3 and 4. And they said unto me, the remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province are the great affliction and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. And it came to pass when I heard these words that I sat down and I wept and I mourned certain days and I fasted and I prayed before the God of heaven. Now let's look at chapter 4, verses 17 and 18. They which buildeth on the wall and they that bear burdens with those that laid every one with one of his hands wrought in the work, and with the other hand held a weapon. Thus my title, the sword and the stone. For the builders, every one had his sword girded by his side, and so builded. And he that sounded the trumpet was by me. Now you usually don't take a sword to the construction site. But they did. Nehemiah had a true burden to see the walls of his city rebuilt. Now, at the time, Nehemiah was a cupbearer and he was living in Persia. He was a cupbearer to the king of Persia, and actually, that was a quite important post. And through his wisdom and will, Nehemiah put through a lot of reforms in his day that relieved the debts of people and fended off what could have been a social revolt in Persia. But during this time, he learned that the remnant of the Jews in Judah were in terrible distress and that the walls of Jerusalem had broken down. So he asked the king of Persia for permission to return and to rebuild the city for his people. The Persian king released him from his captivity and supplied him with whatever he needed to go back and take care of his great burden. Nehemiah didn't have to do this job. He had a really good job and a really stable position in Persia. But burden always finds a way. And Nehemiah was disturbed, and he really wanted to rebuild his city. My philosophy is, luck is when preparation meets opportunity. Nehemiah was prepared and moved at the opportunity. Book of Nehemiah is not what God has said only. It's what God is saying to this church today. And it has an application for you. We live in a day when certain walls are crumbling, and it's time for us to get our sword and some stones and start rebuilding. The devil today has an educated, juiceless brand of Christianity that's not true. And the walls that he has destroyed need to be rebuilt. So many do not believe any longer that the Bible is an infallible word of God, and they don't believe in the order as God has set things up, and they're trying to change and destroy everything that we have built our whole lives on. Signs say, you see them all the time, attend the church of your choice. You better go to the church of God's choice, where the Bible is preached in truth and demonstration of the Spirit. Because I'm seeing the walls of our freedom crumbling all around us. Cancer of socialism is growing. Public schools have problems. Violence is growing exponentially. The walls of decency in our society are completely crumbling. Stones need to be replaced, and things need to be fortified. As Nehemiah wept, we should weep. As he prayed, we should pray. As he fasted, we should fast. And thank you for your commitment to do that every week as a church body. But walls cannot be rebuilt without a fight. And you are finding that out. Not for Nehemiah, and not for us. Nehemiah had an enemy, and in case you haven't heard lately, so do you. We have enemies that constantly are coming against us as individuals and against us as a church body. The enemy has names. Names indicate personalities. So many churches are in great danger because the church has become so institutionalized that it serves programs and techniques and methods rather than him. And instead of using organization to serve people, people are only serving organizations, and we have got to turn this thing around. And I've told you so many times when I've stood here before, I don't know the entire plan God has for this church and this area, but I do know he has a great plan. But I do know with a great plan comes a great battle. What were the things that the enemy was using against Nehemiah? And I'm going to share six things with you that affected Nehemiah, and that is affecting Calvary Gospel. And I want you to be aware of these things, take note of these things, and know that you're in good company. You're not the first ones to go through this. The first attempt to keep Nehemiah from using his stones and rebuilding the wall was derision, or mockery, ridicule. Let's look at derision. Let's read Nehemiah 4, 1 through 3. At the mockery that they actually threw at Nehemiah continually. But it came to pass that when Sanballat heard that we builded the wall, he was wroth and took great indignation. And he, what? You're not the first people. He mocked the Jews. And he spake before his brethren and the army of Samaria, and he said, what do these feeble Jews, will they really fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of the rubbish which they are burned? Now Tobiah, the Amorite, was by him. So the two are together. And he said, even that which they build. If a fox goes up it, he'll even break down their stone wall. They mocked the Jews mercilessly. Tobiah laughing. Well, a fox could break down your wall. Tell you something, the work of God's not funny. And it's not to be mocked. They thought they could laugh them away from a work of God. They laughed at their ability to rebuild something. You know, ridicule is a strong weapon. In Luke 26, 22 and 63, they mocked Jesus and they smote him. Jesus was laughed at often. But that didn't stop him. You know, Jesus only had 12 people in his small school. It looked very inferior to the religions of the day. But he was building something that the people around him had no concept of. And you are too. I don't care what the ridicule says. I don't care what the derision says. They have no idea what we're building at this place. I love Nehemiah 4 and 6. It says, so built we the wall, and it was joined together. Why? For the people had a mind to work. You have to get in a mindset to attempt the sword and the stone. You can't be, well, I just don't think I can do this. Because that mindset comes from a deeper thought process of, I don't think I am. We would never attempt anything if all possible objections had to be removed first. You would never do anything if there wasn't a challenge. There's always a risk when you try to further God's kingdom. And it's spelled T-R-U-S-T. We walk and we trust and we believe that as we take one step in front of the other step, that he is going to make the way. It doesn't matter what the rest of them say. Only thing that matters is what his word says. And that's what we stand on tonight. God's biggest job is to get us to believe that we are somebody and that we can do something in spite of what everybody else seems to think. High five your neighbor and tell them, I'm somebody. I can do this. You know what? You need to enjoy the price of your inheritance. We are to enjoy the good feeling that comes when we sense that God wants to use us. Count yourself blessed when you are ridiculed. Don't look at that as a bad thing. Jesus himself was ridiculed. Why do we think we're going to get out scot-free? I'm just aligning myself with his word and his kingdom. I can do this. Remember, if your pride is rooted in your divine call, your humility is assured. Because the cross will sanctify your ego every time. Mother Teresa, and I use this so often, Mother Teresa of Calcutta said, I have 3 pennies and a dream from God. And all of her superiors told her, you can't build an orphanage with 3 pennies. You can't do anything. I know, she said, but with God and 3 pennies, I can do anything. And I would rather attempt to do something great and fail than attempt to do nothing and succeed. So I pick up my sword and I pick up my stone. And I make it through another day. Ephesians 1, 4 and 6. 4 through 6, I'm sorry. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. I love that. You're not here by accident. And can I tell you, you're not here in October of 2019 sitting on the pew of this church by accident. You're here because he believes you are a survivor and an overcomer. And you are going to stand firm when everything else shakes. You were chosen in him before the foundation of the world. You're important, and you're playing a very important role. That we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us into the adoption of children by Jesus Christ himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, where he hath made us accepted in the beloved. I am accepted. I'm not perfect, but I'm accepted. We're accepted by him. What else matters? Let the winds blow. I have been rooted in him. I'm loved. I'm accepted. Ridicule is just part of the deal. I don't know where we ever got the idea that it's the American dream in the kingdom of God, because it's not. It's not always perfect and lovely and roses and picnics. Read your Bible. But we have bought into the fact that it's the American dream and we shouldn't have to endure these things. It's not scripture. What was their response to all the laughter? And from this we learn what our response should be to the ridicule. We're all coming under for being what we are. There's three things that they responded. You can see it in verse 9. They had a mind to work. We read that one. We must do what God has called us to do. They had a heart to pray. It says, nevertheless, we made our prayer unto our God. Let them say what they want to. I'll show up on Wednesday night. I'll pray. I'll fast. And then they had an eye to watch. They set a watch against them day and night. That's where the sword comes in. We don't do this without knowing where our enemy is. A mind to work, a heart to pray, and an eye to watch. And that's our answer to this Christless cliques that we're living among. The second attempt to keep Nehemiah from building the wall was discouragement. I'm not going to ask who has been discouraged, because we would all raise our hands. Everyone lives through it. So first it was derision, now it's discouragement. Nehemiah 4 and 10. And Judah said, the strength of the bearers are of burdens is decayed, and there is much rubbish, so that we are not able to build the wall. There's just too much junk. I cannot do this anymore. There's just no way. There's too much going on. There's too much that's been said. The strength of the bearers of the burden decayed. And there's much rubbish. Somebody's always willing to pour cold water on the program of God. Don't listen to them. Now let's see what Nehemiah's response to this was. Once again, it's a threefold thing. Nehemiah 4 and 14. And it looked, and I looked and rose up and said unto the nobles and to the rulers and to the rest of the people, be not ye afraid of them. Why? Remember the Lord, who is great and terrible. And fight for your brethren, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your houses. There's more to this thing than you. We have to stand against discouragement because of the generation that's coming behind us. So what three things did Nehemiah do in this verse? First, he remembered the Lord and not himself. We get so self-centered in the middle of battle. And that's why discouragement takes over. And then reflect on your loved ones. Why am I doing this? I'm doing this for you. We're linked together in this. And when one chain link is broken, it weakens the whole thing. So we stand together side by side with our sword and our stone, and we're gonna make it work. And then you resist the enemy. And that's what Nehemiah did. And all of this is in that scripture. The Lord is awe-inspiring. Remember his greatness. Reflect on what is at stake. Your sons and your daughters. Now let's read verses 17 and 18. They which builded on the wall, and they that bear burdens, with those that laid every one, with one of his hands wrought in the work, and with the other hand he held a weapon. Verse 18. For the builders, every one had his sword girded by his side, and so builded. And he that sounded the trumpet was me. The sword and the stone. One hand for work, one hand for a weapon. They were building and battling. Does this sound familiar, Calvary Gospel? Been a rough year. Been a lot of things. I want to tell you, some have used the sword, but they forgot about the stones. And some have tried to build stones and never fight, and neither of those are working. Now, in Old Testament times, David was a warrior and Solomon was a builder, and there were seasons at that time for both. But in today's world, we have to do both. We have to keep the sword with the stone because of the day that we're living in. If we can't be stopped by derision, the enemy will try discouragement. He'll send along a Judah to say, I don't know, it can't be done. There's just too much rubbish. Maybe it's in your family, but remember, when God guides, God provides. So we've battled derision, discouragement, and now the enemy is going to try the third thing, and it's danger. Read Nehemiah 4 and 11. And our adversary said, they will not know, and neither will they see, till we come in the midst of them, and we're going to slay them and cause all their work to cease. So the adversary said, they're not going to know till we're already there, and then we're just going to kill them all. There is some danger to this thing of serving the Lord. Just ask the missionaries who've died on the field. Just ask all our brothers and sisters in China. But you know what? Problem with us is we're more interested in cushions than crosses. And we would rather show our strengths than our scars. Get over yourself. Scripture says, present your body a living sacrifice. Just settle the issue that this Christian walk is going to cost you something. There was a day when it wasn't as expensive. But my friend, there's coming a day when it's going to be more expensive than it is today. And we better settle the issue that we are going to keep building and fighting and building and fighting. And the gates of hell are not going to prevail against the church of God. Amen? So derision, discouragement, danger. And now here comes one. Discord. Nehemiah 5, verses 1 through 5. And there was a great cry of the people and of their wives against their brethren, the Jews. For there were that said, we, our sons and our daughters are so many, therefore we take up corn for them that we may eat and live. Some also there were that said, we have mortgaged our lands, our vineyards, our houses, so that we can just buy corn because of the dearth that's here. They were also that said, we've borrowed money for the king's tribute, and that upon our lands and our vineyards. Yet now our flesh is as the flesh of our brethren, and our children as their children. And lo, we bring unto bondage our sons and our daughters to be servants. And some of our daughters are brought into bondage already. And neither is it in our power to redeem them. For other men have our lands and our vineyards. Boy, they are griping. Tell your neighbor, stop griping. There was a great cry of the people, wives against the brethren of the Jews. So if I can't stop them by laughing at them, I can't stop them by discouraging them, I can't stop them by threatening them, I'll just make them fight against each other. I'll tell you what, the devil would rather start a church fuss than sell a barrel of whiskey any day. He's already got them. He's not battling about them. What was this discord over? It was over money. One of the greatest proofs of the deity of Christ is the way that we love one another. John 17 says that they all may be one, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. One of the greatest proofs of the deity of Christ is the way that I love my brothers and my sisters, especially during adversity. The devil will do anything to keep that from happening. In Calvary Gospel, while you're building with a stone and holding your swords to war, don't get at odds with each other. Love one another. Turn around this time. Find somebody and tell them you love them. Okay, not fellowship meeting time. Oh, we're just hugging and loving. Nehemiah 5 and 9. We're covering Nehemiah tonight, in case y'all didn't know. We're reading this book. Y'all can have your Bible reading in for the week after tonight. Nehemiah 5 and 9. Also I said, it is not good that ye do. Ought ye not to walk in the fear of our God because of the reproach of the heathen or our enemies? You know what? The enemy likes to have any kind of discord published. Wow. Because the reproach. You're not the first ones. You won't be the last ones. The unsaved world is looking on. I think this is sounding pretty relevant here tonight. Derision, discouragement, enemy tries danger and discord. And now we move to the next one. Deception and devious means to stop the work. Let's read Nehemiah 6, 1 through 4. Of this, all the others you've understood. This one is what I'm sounding a warning about in Madison tonight. Now it came to pass when Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem the Arabian and the rest of our enemies heard that I had builded the wall and that there was no breach left therein. Okay, Nehemiah's done a good job. Everybody say Nehemiah did a good job. Good job. No breach in the wall anymore. Though at that time I had not set up the doors on the gates. That Sanballat and Geshem sent unto me, saying, now listen to this cunning device. Come, let us meet together in some one of the villages in the plain of Ono. But they thought to do me mischief. They're not your friends. And I sent messengers unto them, saying, I'm doing a great work, so I cannot come down. Why should the work cease whilst I leave it and come down to you? Next verse 4. Yet they sent unto me 4 times after this sort. And I answered them after the same manner. Let me say something. Just because it keeps happening, don't mean it's the will of God. Just because the invitation keeps happening, beware. Nehemiah, come, please, be our honored guest. Well, he said, I'm doing a great work, I can't. 4 times, but he never changed his message. He answered them the same. There wasn't any big argument, he just made a statement. They were trying to deceive him and call him from the work he was supposed to be doing by showing him honor. The devil comes in one of 2 ways. He's either going to come as a roaring lion or he's going to come as an angel of light. If threats won't work, they'll try to roll you in sugar. His emphasis was not on, I am doing, but his emphasis was on, there's a great work. Some people get together, form a little group. Oh, let's forget about our obligation to the local church. I'll tell you something, the local church is still the base for the kingdom of God. And when times get hard, the enemy will try to call you down to a lower plane with deception. We need to be brutally honest. There's no need to ask penetrating questions without hope of solutions. And this only leads to despair and defeat. Any diagnosis that has reason to expect negative findings has to be made in a hope-inducing environment. We're living in a very questioning age. Arrogance has no time for sincere, interrogative approaches. It only has time for pronouncements. We better know what we stand for, know what we believe, and know where we're headed. Because deception is coming. Brings us to one more D. the devil uses defamation. Boy, has he ever. Nehemiah 6, verses 5 and 7. Then sent Sanballat, his servant, unto me in like manner the fifth time, five times, with an open letter in his hand, wherein was written, it's reported among the heathen, and Gashma said it, thou and the Jews think to rebel, for which cause thou buildest the wall, that thou mayest be their king. They're accusing Nehemiah of something that is totally untrue. And thou hast also appointed prophets to preach of thee at Jerusalem, saying, there is a king in Judah, and now shall it be reported to the king according to your words. Come now, therefore, let us take counsel together. Nehemiah, we're trying to save you. All these rumors out there. We know why you built that wall. You just want to be king. But we're going to try to save you. Just come on down. It's been reported. They started a rumor mill. I know no one here understands that. Nehemiah, you're trying to just build a kingdom for yourself. You're really not interested in the work of God. You're just on a big ego trip. That's all this is about. Teddy Roosevelt said, far better is it to dare mighty things, to win glorious triumphs, even though checkered by failure, than to take rank with those poor spirits who neither enjoy much nor suffer much because they live in the gray twilight that knows not victory nor defeat. I keep my sword and my stone, and we will win. I've read the back of the book. I know the church wins. Somebody says, well, he's just doing it for the money. He's just building that for his ego, overlooking all the things you do right. Let me tell you something. Everybody take note of this statement. This is real revelation right here. You ready? The devil doesn't play fair. He'll laugh you out. He'll discourage you out. He'll scorn you out. He'll divert you from your work. We need a sword in one hand and a stone and a trowel in the other hand, and we are going to build what God has promised us that we can build. Let's read the finish of this, and I'm almost done. Read Nehemiah 6, 15 and 16. So the wall was finished in the 25th day of the month, Elul, in 52 days. You talking about a turnaround. Dude, do y'all know how quick that is? When God gets ready to turn something around, he does a quick work. And it's about to happen in Madison. There has been so much fight and so much sword and so much stone building. But I'm telling you, if he did it for Nehemiah, he'll do it for you. And it was turned around in 52 days. Let's read the next verse. And it came to pass that when all our enemies heard and all the heathen that were about us saw, victory is sweet. They were much cast down in their own eyes, for they perceived that this work was wrought of our God. Because it's not about me and it's not about you, but it is for the glory of Almighty God and building him a platform for glory to be displayed. And you can't have miracles without a mess. We We must be involved deeply with the world, but my friend, we cannot be conformed to it. Jesus was not segregated when he went out, but he was not tainted either. Our nation put together and fought by very unique people, warriors, that knew how to fight and knew how to build. And if you have not ever traveled outside of the United States, my friend, you have no idea how blessed you are. We had people like Nathan Hale, Patrick Henry, Paul Revere, George Washington, Benjamin Franklin. Nathan Hale, what if he had said, "Me spy on the British? Are you kidding me? Do you know what they do to spies? They hang them." No. He picked up his sword and his stone, and he did what had to be done. Paul Revere. Okay, you got to be kidding me. You want me to get on a horse and ride through every village and town and do it in the middle of the night and be screaming? Why? Am I the only guy in Boston that's got a horse? No, but you were chosen. Pick up your stone, pick up your sword, and get after it. You have been chosen. George Washington. What if he would have said, "Gentlemen, I'm honored, but I just really wish you'd get someone else. You know, I'm just getting organized at Mount Vernon. I think y'all should try General Gates. After all, I've already served my time in the French War. I don't need to serve anywhere else. Y'all go find somebody else." No. He picked up the battle, and he fought for our freedom. Benjamin Franklin. I don't know what's wrong with you guys, but what we really need is a young man as ambassador to France. Come on, I'm over 70 years old. Can't y'all find somebody else? Nope. Age is not a limit in God's kingdom. Calling and anointing is what matters. Difficult to get people to accept responsibility. We were founded as a nation on men that decided to go against every odd that was facing them. We were founded as a church by men that were up against every odd, and they built a church. And we are sitting at a time in 2019 when we are up against so many odds, but God has found some people and he's going to build a church. It's just, we have to put our shoulder to the wheel. We cannot look back. We cannot cry over spilled milk. We cannot keep wallowing in self-pity. It's time for us to pick up our sword and start building what God has called us to build. Calvary Gospel, it's time to take the challenge. Yeah, it's been a rough few months. It's been a rough year. But God is for you. And if God be for me, who can be against me? They can say what they want. You can either hide in fear, or you can step up to the plate and do what has to be done to bring his kingdom to Madison, Wisconsin, so it will spread across this entire state and region. God has positioned you, and the devil knows it. Count yourselves blessed, not persecuted. Just like the feet looked impossible for Arthur to pull the sword out of the stone, our battles look impossible. But I know a secret. And I read it in Luke 1:37. For with God, nothing is impossible. For with God, nothing is impossible. I don't care how many negative things have been said. I don't care how much damage has been done. I know with God, nothing is impossible. It's time for us to go to battle. Quit licking your wounds. Quit feeling sorry. Hey, it's part of the world. It's part of life. It's part of being in the kingdom of God. Everybody has their struggles and it's tough. And I'm not making light of it. But I know the outcome. We win. So it doesn't matter what I have to walk through. I'm headed to a city where the Lamb is the light. I'm headed to victory. All I have to do is keep my sword in one hand and my stones in the other. And I will build a church for the kingdom of God that the gates of hell cannot prevail. Will you stand with me tonight? With God, nothing is impossible. With God, nothing is impossible. Can you just say that with me? Let's read that together about 3 or 4 times until it seeps into our spirits and we know it. For with God, nothing is impossible. Come on again. For with God, nothing is impossible. For with God, come on, say it like you believe it. With God, nothing is impossible. Nothing is impossible. We win. Let's give him a shout of praise. I thank you, Heavenly Father. I know the enemy has tools. I know he has weapons. I know he comes against us. But God, I just want to thank you that I know nothing's impossible with you. I know that if you're for me, nothing can be against me. I know that with your strength, I can do anything. Let's worship him tonight. Come on, Roy. Oh, I love him. Let the word seep into your spirit and know that God is for you.
As we close this evening out, I just want, I don't know where you are. I mean, this is a tremendous message. Tremendous message. And thank you so, so very much. See, one thing that I've learned about in life is that nothing happens without action on your part and on my part. All of this requires an action. And that action required of us is to commit to saying, this is what I will do, regardless of what the enemy does. We already know his game plan, and he knows ours. And we just have to be consistent, a powerful consistency among a few is more powerful than non-consistency among many. So I'm going to open up this altar in front as Sister Fiona prepares to sing. I'm committed to this. I don't always like to fight. Sometimes you just grow weary. You grow tired. I will admit. But you see, I can't quit. I just can't quit. It's not a Grant thing. It's not a North American thing. It's not an American thing. It's a God thing. Something that he puts in us. It says no matter how tough it gets, no matter how rough it gets, no matter how much the enemy comes against, I can't quit. If anything, if I can just say this, it ticks me off even more. And my resolve becomes stronger and stronger. And I want to fight back more and more and more. I just can't fight back with my own flesh. I got to fight back with the sword of the Spirit. So we're going to open up this front, and I just want to encourage you. If you've been beat up, whatever the enemy's done or tried to do in any of these six things, maybe all of them, this is not a permanent place that we're in. It's not a permanent place that you're in. This is temporal. And we can get through it, but it requires action. Sister Fiona.